I am so thankful that serving the Lord this morning is a positive experience. The Lord, or the enemy, has tried to turn serving the Lord into a list of I can't and I have to's. But serving the Lord, when we serve Him because we willfully, voluntarily surrender our life to the Lord, there's no greater joy. That's where the victory is. It's where the peace is. It's where just that contentment, and it's where true worship stems from. So I am so thankful for the privilege and ability that we have to serve the Lord this morning. By the help of the Lord, we're going to continue with a kind of a little mini series. We've been talking about learning the lesson the last 2 or 3 weeks. Like to talk about I know this morning. You see how I phrase that? Have you ever tried to tell someone something and they said, well, I know. In other words, you don't need to tell me. I know. I already know. There's a way to phrase that, and it's been a policy that my children, I don't want them responding that way. When you give them some information or want to remind them of something, it's like, I know. That's not a respectful way to respond to a parent. Young people, do you want me to repeat that? When your parents tell you something and you say, I know, that's disrespectful. What your parents are looking for, if you haven't figured it out yet, they are looking for you to say, yes, sir, I'll do that. I was going to do that. No, they're wanting you to acknowledge respectfully what you're telling them. And the Lord wants the same thing from us. There are things that we maybe have a head knowledge of, but if we know it, here, young people, here's another one, children. If your parents tell you to do something and your response is, I know, there's a reason your parents are telling you that, probably because you're not doing it. So if you know, why aren't you doing it? And that is really the crux of some of the burden the Lord put on my heart this morning. If you know and you don't want your parents telling you again, why aren't you doing it? As children of God this morning, the Spirit of the Lord can come along and remind us. You can hear the Word of God preached, and in your minds it can be kind of the, I know. Then why aren't you doing it? When we read in the Word of God and we've read, how many times have we read these scriptures? How many thousands of messages have most of us heard in our life? I hope that we do know. But if we respond to the Lord, it's almost dismissive. And that's why it's disrespectful. It's dismissive to your parents to say, well, I know. In other words, I didn't need you to say that. Just be quiet. I know. But if we know, what are we doing with our knowledge this morning? What good this morning is spiritual knowledge if we're not applying it in our life? It's kind of hard to teach someone that knows it all, isn't it? It's kind of hard to instruct someone or to share, to impart knowledge if they already know it all. And it's very interesting. Someone has read a book but never done something, but they read the book, so they don't think they need anybody. I'll tell you, there's a big difference in reading the book and getting your hands dirty doing it. There's a big difference. The book knowledge is important, but to have someone show you, all right, you have the head knowledge, but this is how you do it. You can learn a lot by watching someone and taking some counsel and advice. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It seems like we're living in an age where people do not want to be instructed. Those of you that have people working for you, I'm sure you've experienced it. Don't tell, I know. I can just imagine. Sister Rhonda, Brother Sean, I can just imagine, and if this has ever happened to anyone here, I'm sorry, but I can just imagine even thinking about cutting stuff. Using the cutter, it's like, yeah, you said, now there's a proper way to do this. I know. Well, I'll tell you what. We would be a lot further along, folks. I know I said it last Sunday. We would be a lot further along if we have learned from the mistakes of our parents. We'd be a lot further along spiritually. But it's because I know. But there are sometimes, folks, we don't know as much as we think we do. And if we do know it, the question is, are we applying it in our life? It's the fool that despises wisdom. It's the fool that listens to the word of God and dismisses it. It's like, what's the preacher preach? Oh yeah, I know that. Go to Sunday school. Oh, I know that. How many have gone to Sunday school, children, young people, in this lesson? It's like, oh, I know that story. And then you tune it out. But what are you doing with knowledge this morning? What are we doing with what God has entrusted with? Do we know this morning? Do we know what God wants of us? You know, I know there are some things that we're seeking God to guide us in, isn't there? I hope there is. But do you know, we know quite a bit too, don't we, from His Word? We know. Do we know that without holiness no man shall see the Lord? Do we know that? We talked a little bit in the young people's Sunday school. Without holiness, holiness is purity. Holiness is godliness. Holiness is sanctified. Holiness is the same throughout. It's not mixed. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Do we know that? But this morning, it would be easy to say, yes, of course, I know, I know. Then the question is, am I living a holy life? Am I the same throughout? Am I consecrated to God? Is everything that I do, am I doing it to the glory of God? Well, I know. I know it here. But do my actions prove the knowledge that I have up here? Do we know that if we want God to forgive us, that we need to forgive those that trespass against us? Do we know that this morning? No, I think we'd all say, yes, we know that. But do you know, Brother Austin used to say, and I believe he's right, there will probably be more people that have knowledge of the truth that miss heaven because of unforgiveness than anything else. But we know. How are we doing this morning? Do we know that if we are followers of Christ, that there is a cross to take up? Do we know that? Do we know that if we're going to follow Christ, it means forsaking what? Self? Forsaking self, forsaking the world. If we're going to follow Christ, there are some things we're going to have to forsake. And we can very easily dismiss this because we've heard it so often and we say, I know. But have we taken up our cross this morning? Or are we trying to drag the world along with us while we serve the Lord? I know. Do we know that Babylon is not of God? Spiritual Babylon is spiritual confusion where truth has been mixed with error. And the scripture says to forsake Babylon and not to be partaker of her sins. Do we know that this morning? We say, I know. Then why are so many people dabbling with Babylon? Why are so many people dabbling in religion? Why are so many people dabbling in going to places where there is not truth? Because they said, but there's some truth. The greatest deception comes where there's quite a bit of truth. There's a greater deception than that. I would rather my children go somewhere and they can just know, these folks that you're going to be around here, they're not saved and they're not living for God. Because there's a clear line, it's worldliness. But when they get around religious people, it's caused more detriment to God's children than the people that are out teaching false doctrine. It's more detrimental because there's more prone to deception when you find good people that are holding some truth, but yet they're mixing their own ways and their own ideas and their own thoughts. There's deception. Do we know the scripture says to forsake Babylon? If we know that, what are we doing? Do we know that we are to live simple, humble, modest lives? Do we know that? Just because you can afford something doesn't mean you should buy it. I know someone that the Lord has blessed them financially, and they could have a really nice house and have the best of, and you know what? They chose not to. You know why? Because they know that the Lord wants us to live modest lives. Nothing wrong with a new house. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a place that God wants balance in our lives. Just because we can afford it doesn't mean we should buy it. Just because it's free. You know, the devil's a pretty smart fella, and I don't like to give him too much credit. But there was a time to watch a movie. Do you know what you had to do? You had to pay for it. That kept some people from watching them. And then you could go to the library and you could check them out. Devil thought, some people won't, but if it's free, now, what do you have to do? Where's my phone? Push a button. It's right here. That's her phone. So, what are we doing with the knowledge we have? Is it good for us? Is it spiritually edifying? Or have there been areas that the enemy has been begin to creep in our lives, in the way we live, in the things we do, in the clothes we wear, in the places we go, in the attitudes we have? And when the word is preached, we say, well, I know. What are we doing with the knowledge we have? Are we applying it in our life? I want to challenge us this morning to be careful about dismissing the Word of God with the I knows. Our prayer should be, Lord, help me to learn more of You that I can draw closer to You. It's not about a list of rules this morning. It's not about saying, well, if you'll do this, you'll fit into the body of Christ. That's not what this is about. This is about doing what we need to do to get closer to Jesus Christ. And if there's hindrances in our life, then Lord, help me not to excuse it by saying, I know, but Lord, help me to say, yes, Lord, would You help me? I'm struggling. I'm not there yet, but that's what I want. Would You help me, Lord? Would You give me more grace? Would You give me greater strength? So then, does our living match our knowledge this morning? You know, that's a very personal question that I can only examine in my life. Does my living match my knowledge? Are we living to what we know? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus spoke, and He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and do you remember what it says next? And doeth them. Okay, now we're not just talking about hearing truth. He said, whosoever hears these sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descend, the floods come, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone, and you know what it would be easy to do? Tune it out now. You know why? Because we know this passage of Scripture. Yeah, the wise man, the fool. I know. Everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. What are we doing this morning with what God has blessed us with? You know, Jesus not only wants us to hear the truth and know the truth, He wants us to do the truth. If we did not say a word to anyone about what we believed, okay? If we did not say a word about what we believed, what would people assume about our lives? What would they learn by just watching and observing without you saying, well, I'm a Christian or I go to the church of God or I'm a preacher or I'm a Sunday school teacher or I'm this or that. If we didn't say a word, what would people believe about us? A minister told me recently that on their job, they did not tell anyone that they were a minister. Because they said, and they said, I witness for the Lord every day. But they did not want to get out this idea that, oh, they're a preacher. In other words, so it would almost minimize their witness. And just recently, one of their employees came up and said, you know, so I was listening to some of your messages online. That let them right now knew that everybody probably knew that they were a preacher. But they wanted to convince people of the truth of salvation, not just based on a profession of being a preacher, but on how they live their life. What would people say about us this morning? What would people say about our homes this morning? About how we're relating, husbands and wives are getting along. You say, well, I know. Do you know that husbands and wives are to be patient with one another? Did you all know that? Some, well, yeah, I know. What are we doing with it? You know, husbands and wives need to forgive one another too. Well, I know. What would happen if we were to play a little bit of, what's that game? You upset the fruit basket. If we were just to kind of, you know, mix up homes and observe, would we be able to know that these are real people of God? In other words, it's one thing for us to have knowledge of grace, folks. It's one thing for us to have knowledge of the fruit of the Spirit, but I'll tell you, it's something else to put it into practice. Who's a wise man? And Jesus said it's the one that not only knows it and hears it, in essence, but it's the one that goes and puts it into practice. The one that does it. The I know is not an excuse or a justification. Do you know when we say I know and we're not doing it, we condemn ourselves? And folks, I just want, especially, it's not just the young people, all of us. God does it. You don't have to live under condemnation. The Lord doesn't want you to live under condemnation. He doesn't want you to be beating yourself up all the time spiritually. But take what God has blessed you with. And if you're struggling with it, it's okay. But bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling, but I need some help here. I want to grow here. I want to draw closer to you, Lord. And do you know that God will help us? But if we begin to make excuses with, I know, it's not going to get us through the battles and the trials of life. We condemn ourselves. I know I illustrated a few weeks ago, but the more that time goes on, the more I realize this man that told me that did a job for us, and he was selling himself saying, I've got 60 years of experience. And I was trying to get the price down a little bit. He said, you're paying for experience. You're paying for someone that will do the job right. I wish I hadn't paid for his experience. He condemned himself. If you had all the experience, then why do I have a problem here? Why am I having to deal? Why should I have to call in someone else and get some advice from them on how to fix what you did? Spiritually, though, how are we doing, folks? Is that fair? It's not meant to put any of us on the spot because it all for me in my life, it comes back to me. But how are we doing? We've got all this knowledge. We have all this scripture. The Lord's been so faithful. Do you know that's why the scripture says in James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth what? To do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. If you know what to do, he is not talking here about human imperfections in those areas that we are to be growing in grace, okay? Those things are not separating from God as long as we are growing in grace. But this passage of Scripture, as we see, we know the plan of salvation. We acknowledge the power of sin. We acknowledge that we're accountable. We acknowledge that, yes, we're not to commit adultery, and we're not to kill, and we're not to steal, and we're not to cheat. But the Scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good. In this place, it didn't say, to him that knoweth not to do bad. Okay? Or not to do wrong. It says, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it. It's sin. It can end up, in other words, he's talking about omission. The things that you know God is asking of you and requiring you to do, and you say, I'm not going to do it. Do you know those things can start separating us from God? What would people say about our priorities this morning? The Scripture says to seek first what? The kingdom of God. And what? And His righteousness. And then all these things would be added unto you. And it would be easy to say, I know. I know I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. But are we doing that? Can we convince our neighbors that we are seeking first the kingdom of God by the way they see us behave? By our time management? By placing the service of the Lord first? Do they see the way that we talk and the way that we act? Are we proving by our life that we're putting God first? Seek first the kingdom of God. Knowledge is something that should be valued this morning. We do not need to be afraid of truth. We should not ever need to be afraid of knowledge. There's a passage over in Luke chapter 12. We'll just briefly look at it. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. It said, the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, you had knowledge. You knew what was expected. Illustration of the children, if you give one of your children a job and say, you know what, this is what I want you to do. I want you to empty the trash, I want you to do the dishes, and I want your bed made before you do anything else. Those things need to be done. And you look at them and say, do you understand? And yeah, no, look at me. I want eye contact, see? We want to be sure you got it. Yes, I understand. So now there's no confusion, right? There's an agreement. You know and they know what's expected. And then one of the other children, you just say, oh, you need to get some things done, and you leave. And you come home. The one child that you had given specific instruction, are you not going to hold them more accountable than the child that you just said, oh, you need to get some things done, and you didn't detail it, and was just left kind of ambiguous? This is what the Lord is talking about. The servant that knew the Lord's will and didn't do it. It said he's going to be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that did not know his will is going to be beaten with few stripes. In other words, the judgments of God are going to be different based upon the knowledge and the understanding that we have. It's something that I'm glad I'm not in the place of God. He is the judge. God will judge righteous judgment. But the judgments of God, to those that are without the law, they will be judged without the law. So the judgments of God are going to be different. But for us that have knowledge, do you know the tendency, young people, might be to say, well, I would rather just not even know, than it's not required of me. But do you know that some people say ignorance is bliss? Do you know that spiritual ignorance is not bliss? The happiest, most fulfilling life that we can have this morning is by giving our all to the Lord and putting our whole heart into it and doing what the Lord asks of us to do. The best life that we can have this morning is by keeping the truth. Doing what is right with the right, with a motivation of love, not a force. So, truth should never be bondage to us. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Truth sets free. So then the question is, what are we doing with what we have this morning? What are we doing with the truth 2 Timothy 3 warns us of perilous times that would come. And it goes through a list of things that would be signs of those perilous times. Verse 5 said, having a form of godliness. Having a form. In other words, a profession, a standard of some kind. You've got the shell. You've got the doctrines right. See, we can have all the doctrines. What do you believe? Number 1, 2, 3, 4. We can have all the doctrines just so. But part of the perilous times that we live in is that people have a form of godliness, but they deny what? The power. Deny what power? The power of God. They deny the power of God. In verse 7 then says, of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, there's this head knowledge. They're still seeking and they're still learning things, but they're not applying it practically to their life. No closer to God today than they were 10 years ago. Not putting into practice the head knowledge. May the Lord help us this morning to apply our heart to wisdom. And I would ask us individually this morning, and it's not meant to be an indictment, but what is the condition of your soul? What's the condition of your soul this morning? We know what the Lord requires. We know if someone came and asked us what to do, it's so ironic when we have the, if someone came and asked you what to do and you could give them the answer. I'm having some real marriage problems. Does anybody have any counsel? Do you know, you probably all of us, we could give some counsel. Humble yourself. Forgive. Seek the grace of God. It's one thing to give counsel. Young people, some of your friends, I know some of you put in requests for friends that call with a certain, maybe a need in their life, and you have some counsel, and it's good to be able to give counsel. But it's easier to give it than it is to live it. And we say, I know. So I would just ask us in the love of the Lord this morning, what's the condition of our soul? How are we doing with the knowledge that we have? I believe God has blessed us. I feel very privileged this morning to have heard the truth. I've been privileged to have had people in my life that showed me how to serve the Lord. They set an example for me. I count that as a privilege. But how are we doing? I know. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's not allow our experience this morning to stop with the words that we speak, with the doctrines that we teach, with the things that we know. But may the Lord help us individually to be challenged to seek a closer walk with God, that I can now start applying these things in my life by the help of God, that I can be more of what God wants me to be.